This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم His family, his companions, and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, and tomorrow our country will bring back a memory of 20 years ago, which is the 9/11 anniversary. Even though as much as the media tried to push and government tried to bring back that memory, as much as the community and society move on, and people will keep going and moving on in their life, and when they will look back into what happened 20 years ago, definitely their view of the incident will be not the same as those who lived these moments and lived that incident in particular. And 9/11 was a turning point in the modern history of America. Not only in America, but in the many Muslim countries and in the relationship between Muslims and Western society at large. And I do believe that it might sound harsh, but I do believe that the turning around was mainly from the Western society, not the Muslim world. Because the overwhelming number of Muslims have not demonstrated any type of hostile against Westerns. And the amount of people who demonstrate that level of hostile against Western civilizations or non-Muslims are very small. Not a number can be even mentioned, a fraction. Talk about more than a billion Muslims in the world. What about all these countries and all this history? But was the real shocking, and by the way, terrorist attack and killing people, innocent people, happen all the time, not only in the hand of Muslim and non-Muslims alike. But in my opinion, 9/11, the most shocking thing was how easily we are willing to drop, and how easy we are, so many people willing to drop all this good history and cooperations and friendship, and all of a sudden you can doubt your doctor, your physician, and you can doubt your neighbor, and all of a sudden can the media, you know, put you a big question mark on you. For me, that was the biggest shock after 9/11. That I need to be put in a frame of, are you with me or against me? And if you don't agree with what I do, that means you're the enemy. And not only the enemy of me, the enemy of the state, and the enemy of the civilization. There's a lot of people in this world would like to see conflict. They flourish on conflicts. A lot of people try to push the world to two edges and to see the world just black and white. While the majority of people have a common sense, I don't need to choose between black or white. I can be green, I can be orange, I can choose any other colors. I have choices. You don't have to put me in that, either this or that. And unfortunately, we help that view, we like it or not, intentionally or unintentionally. We help the reaction that happened, and the incident of 9/11, it's meant, in my opinion, is to create that fraction, is to split the world into two campaigns, or the people into two campaigns. And I think as 9/11 became less and less and less the memory we have of it, and the media turned the tone, people realize that this is not how it should be solved. And we just, and sometimes I feel that we've been, the reaction to, it is no doubt a terrible thing. It's no doubt, it's a cowardly attack on civilians. No doubt, a lot of innocent people died that day. There is no doubt about that in my mind. I'm not at all undermining the severity of that attack. But what I'm saying that as we look back into history and we try to see, we have to learn. We have to make sure that we build and how to move forward. So that idea of you are either with me or against me, it's very similar to a very common concept that some people try to push, and unfortunately sometimes it's reproduced in the name of religion, that it is me versus you. If I exist, you have to be not exist. And that's very, very wrong way of looking at society and looking at the world. Islam never promote that. Otherwise, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would never leave any non-Muslim alive. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had treaties, an open treaties, has no even expiration date on it. It's like what you call today a treaties between countries. in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam treaty with Mecca has no date. It doesn't end in this particular day. No, as long as we go by these rules, the treaty is in place. And not only the people, but many other cities and communities and tribes as well. And his treaty with the Jews in Medina and so forth. Even though he has the upper hand, he has the power, but the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not. He didn't see it that way. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in their society, for years and generations to go, that this was not the way to look at society. Also, Al-Islam in the same time refused the idea of that the Muslims to be completely observed by a culture that outside of Islam, where they lose their identity, where there's no Muslim anymore. I observe completely by some other, whatever culture or identity you can think of. And also, which is some people call it assimilations or being completely, you know, observed by other culture, where yours is not there anymore. So you know what, to the extent that people do even shame of their names, Muslims' name, shamed of their heritage, hiding their deen and neglecting their deen, or worse, that they try to change the deen to fit and to please other people. That's why you see Americanize the religion, or you know, westernize the religion, and well, blah, blah, blah. The religion doesn't need to be changed for anyone to make it a Chinese or to make it an American or to make it, you know, South America. The deen is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You like it, you like it. You take it, you take it. You don't take it, it's yours. You're the one who loses it. But what is the options that we have? The idea that the religion came with, it is us and them, me and you. It's not me against you. We still can work together. We can live together, even though we are fundamentally disagree with each other when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who He is. When it comes fundamentally to, you know, many things we don't morally or theologically we don't agree with, but I still can live my life and have my, especially us who are living in America, especially us, let's talk about specifically to the Muslims who are living in the West, where we don't have to make that, you know, choice, which is a choice was made and framed that we put in after 9/11, which is, are you Muslim or Americans? As if I have to choose between the two. And also at the same time, you've been put in a position as if you have to choose between the two and you cannot have both. Or as if this country is based on a principle that you cannot combine between two. So it's false from the religion perspective and it falls from the country's foundation's perspective. And the answer for this is simple. For us, when it comes as Muslims, let me put it in a very, very clear term. No tuqiyah, nothing. Take it from somebody who studied Islam all his life. Especially for non-Muslim who might be hearing my talk. For us, it's simple. Our religion is made of two combination of two things. One, it's called belief, sets of belief. That's in my heart, that's what I believe in it. No one have control on it. And usually other people don't have a problem with that. Whatever I believe in. Two, it's called rules. I have to do certain things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And alhamdulillah, as long as I'm allowed to practice this, I practice it. But what if there are certain rules against my religion? Hear the question, oh, I got you. You know, this Islamophobe. What about if I have a rule that goes against my religion? You have every right to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be part of that. And if I'm forced to do it, I will obey the law, and the sin for it goes to the one who forced me to do it. There's only one thing I cannot do, even if you force me to it, which is to kill an innocent person. I can't do that. I can't harm a human being because harming him protecting him is not more important than protecting myself. That's the only option. I cannot be forced into it. But any other thing, you're the sin for it. If you force me to pay interest, and you force me into that, I'll do it. If I'm forced, I'm not going to go to jail for it. I'm not going to be, as Muslim, this is Islam, my deen, allowed me. And if these things accumulated to a number of sets of rules, that it make me so hard to pray, I'm not allowed to pray in public, I'm not allowed to do this, I'm not allowed to do this. Let's assume a scenario like that. In this case, alhamdulillah, alam takun ardi wasi'a. Allah said, Allah's land is so big, and you move out. So that idea that you are afraid that Muslim, betrayed you, or they want to take over your country, or they want to, that's not how it is. We don't see a contradiction. Things for us is set in a way, in such a way, our religion set in such a beautiful way, that allowed us to enjoy our life anywhere we at. As long as we can be closer to Allah and beneficial to the society that we're living in. فالعبد يعيش حينما كان أعبد لله وأنفع لعباد الله. Where you are more righteous, more closer to Allah, and more beneficial to the people that you're living with. And this question is irrelevant from even a just pure American perspective. You don't ask this question to Jewish. You don't ask these questions to Buddhists. You don't ask this to anyone. To Christians. But I think the lessons that I want to say today, and there is more to talk about, because there is a lot of lessons from 9/11 has to do with our community, that we should learn from it. And for our government too. But since I talked to the community, that's the main focus, me and my guests, our guests tonight, inshallah ta'ala, after Maghrib. But I think the most important lesson that we have to learn, that we don't allow anyone to put us in a frame that they choose for us. And I give you another example that's so clear, which is the frame of what you are not. So after 9/11, many Muslims start to be all what they say, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not a terrorist, I'm not an extremist, I'm not bad guy, I'm not this, I'm not this. So what happened when you keep saying, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not? You know what happened? You will never get a chance to tell people what this Islam is, and who you are, or what you are. It's all became, our Islam is not bad to women, our Islam is not bad to this, we don't really think of slavery, and just all my talk became like that. I never get to tell to you what Tawheed is, what Ibadatullah is, how the beautiful names and attributes of Allah are. I never tell them about who Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. And I didn't tell them about the foundation, the fundamental of our deen, and believing in the Day of Judgment, and believing in Al-Qadr, and how we see the world of the unseen. I can't, because I've been consumed by that. Another frame they put you in? They put you in a frame of terrorism. So they look at you from that lens. And you have to be basically every single crazy person in the world, I have to make condemnation. Do you see us these days going after every evangelical or Protestant or any denominations, who known to be dominated by white attendees? We tell them, hey, what about January 6th? Every time the FBI arrests one of these, guys who persons, we said, why didn't you condemn that? Why didn't you, what did you say about, that crazy, guy who claimed that he's a prophet and what he says about this and that? Do we ask them to do that? Do we, community and society, do that? Yeah. And we're not going to ask because we have common sense. But also, you should not accuse us. We don't doubt you. A lot of good people out there. But there's no need for to doubt us and to ask us every time to make that, to put us in that frame, as if we are responsible for every crazy person happened to be a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that strength to stay tall, to stay strong. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad, aqulu ma sami'tu wa astaghfirullah. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. I want to say that there is a sense of denial sometimes among some I would call good-hearted Muslims, sometimes even to the level of being naive, that they think that there is no such things called violence extremism or terrorist or Muslims who are like extremists. I wish it's true, but the reality is not. The reality, we have very, very bad people, happen to be Muslim, and very, very stubborn about ideology that never took the Muslims anywhere in the past, and it will not, didn't do now, and it will not do in the future. An ideology based on a very simple fact that it goes against what Allah and Muhammad ﷺ, what Allah said, and what Muhammad ﷺ's seerah was about, and what his companion were upon. As simple as that. They never understood the Quran was Sunnah according to the understanding of the early generations. They understood according to political influence. Understood it on the light of this political situation. The anger and the emotions and stuff like that. They don't go by the book as they claim that they're trying to implement. And this extreme ideology, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I don't know how to describe it to you. I have a friend of mine who's a judge in one of the Muslim countries telling me, nobody else, that one of these guys telling the judge, telling him, yeah, I give my allegiance to ISIS, the Islamic State. And inshallah, one day I will be mujahid with them and come and conquer your country. And I will take you as a slave and your wife and your daughters and your moms as a slave girls. Telling the judge that. And he said the judge thought he's going to make a point. He said that means also your sisters and your mother will be taken by somebody else. He said they deserve it. His mother and his sisters. He said they deserve it. Can you imagine how far the person can go? In Sudan, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Hadiya told me that the Bin Laden's group, they had a debate in Sudan, a famous debate when Al-Qaeda was established in Sudan at that time. And he said in Salat al-Fajr, they hit that masjid and the imam and the community with RPG. And he's well-known scholars, respected scholars, and killed over 14 people praying Fajr. Why? They said, أَقَمْنَا عَلَيْهُمُ الْحُجَّةِ last night. We have proven last night that they are kuffar. I can give you crazy examples. All what I want you to know, that there is somebody killed Ali ibn Abi Talib. Stab Ali ibn Abi Talib. Stab Uthman radiallahu anhu. While he's thinking that he is doing the most rewarding things ever. And someone come later and he says, when I remember Ibn Muljam and what he did to Ali. Ali radiallahu anhu. And who's Ali? I don't need to tell you who's Ali ibn Abi Talib is in Islam. First young man to be Muslim. The cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who's Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the man would say, I think about this man who killed Ali, and I think in the day of judgment, killing Ali will be the most rewarding thing that ever human beings will gain. If that ideology was exist in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu time, I'm not at all surprised to see someone willing to kill John. And George, and Lou, and Kumar, and Waleed, and Ahmed, and Muhammad today. So don't be naive and think that there's not, it's a fraction. But it's important to pay attention to it. That's a sunnah came in warning us from extremism, warning us about the Khawarij. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they will continue appear among you continue. قال لا يزالون يظهرون في عراضكم فيكم حتى يظهر الدجال. They will continue appear until the false Messiah appear, and they will follow him. So that ideology exists. Yes, it's small, but we have to be careful. We should not just turn the other face. We're not like governments who terrorism for them is a political ball that you shoot it one day there and shoot it one day there. Some politician do that. No, extremism for us, it's haram. It's an act of forbidden act, something that religiously we fight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all Muslims and all people to what is right and what is good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the guidance and to protect our young men and women from all form of extremism and all form of misguidance. اللهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام احفظنا بحفظك وأكلنا برعايتك. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها. وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.